Welcome to the Unfiltered Empowered Woman. I am your host, Ellen, and I am a female empowerment coach. That means that I help you stop people-pleasing, stop being controlled by anxiety and overthinking, breaking your bad habits, and stop letting food rule your life. It's time for you to take your power back and become an empowered woman. In this podcast, I will show you the unfiltered version of myself and my guests. You know, the stuff that we can't put on Instagram. I want to show you how living unfiltered means you can take that power back and live a truly empowered life. Now let's dig in. Hey guys, before we start this episode, I just want to apologize for the audio. I have tried everything to recover the audio from Jazz, but for some reason her microphone was not working. So unfortunately, the audio is a little bit up and down because I've tried to adjust it so that it is okay. But I do apologize for it. So you don't have to comment on it. I already know, and it's annoying as fuck, but hopefully you can still listen to this episode because it's such a good episode and I really, really don't want you to not listen because of the audio. And it's honestly not that bad. But I'm super excited for this episode and I can't wait to hear what you think. So yeah, let's get to it. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Unfiltered Empowered Woman podcast. Today I'm here with a very special guest. Her name is Jazz McNair and she is the owner of Fit by Jazz, which is an online fitness and online coaching. God, I'm completely losing my words. Online fitness coaching for women, nutrition and training. She is absolutely amazing and I am just so excited to have this beautiful woman here with me in Bali today. Jazz, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I feel so special and the fact that I'm in Bali doing this just makes it 10 times better.
I know. It's very exciting. It's been a long time coming as well. Like, we've been chatting back and forth for ages. So I'm glad that you finally made it over. How long are you staying again?
I'm staying for 13 days, so 2 weeks. But I wish it was longer. But this is my fourth time in Bali over 8 months. So
yeah.
It's like my second home in a way.
Yeah, I know. Because I remember last time you were here, we were trying to like get like a, do like a meetup and then we just couldn't make it work. But I'm glad we can make it work this time.
Me too, even though the traffic and the drama this morning, but that's fine.
Yes, oh my God. It's just, yeah, I was just telling her before we started that the podcast studio is moving and I went there and I sent her that address, but she went to some completely random other place and then I went to the wrong place and then I was like, fuck, I just sent her this place and then she wasn't there. It was just a drama, but if you hear it's island time, people don't care. It's like, you can be a bit late, doesn't matter. Yes, we're here now and it's all that matters. But for the listeners who don't know you, like, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, like how you got into the industry?
Yeah, sure. So I guess unfiltered, I had a coach myself when I was kind of dipping my toes into the health and fitness. Like, growing up, I've always been into sport, playing basketball and footy, but I was kind of seeing on Instagram all these people going to the gym and I'm like, oh, that looks cool. So I actually got a coach myself and it was actually the worst experience of
my life.
Yeah, I felt so devalued and my programming, my nutrition programs were all the same as one of my friends who she was unaware of at the time. And I just was like, what is this? Like, I wouldn't get responses until like my check-in day, which would be like a week late. And it was just one of those things where I was like, there needs to be more people in the industry who care about their clients. And I've always loved looking after people and just being there to support. Like, I used to do early childhood education. Mm. I've done disability support work. And, well, I love health and fitness. And so I just put the two together and was like, this is where I'm meant to shine. And so I've taken all my lessons from the experiences that I've had in the past and just applied everything the opposite into how I coach my girls.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh. I feel like so many people will be able to relate to that. And it's funny because I just did a workshop yesterday for the Women's Fitness Academy. Yeah. And I was talking about a lot of red flags that you can see in like both the clients when you're coaching them, but also like in coaches. And one of my friends is just she's becoming a coach now. And she's like, oh my God, like just so shocked, like I thought that was like a normal behavior from a coach, and that's so fucked. Like, there's so many people who think that
those things are normal, and how would you know any different, right?
That's the thing, and it makes me so emotional. And it wasn't because I, like, it was only because I got curious, and I was like, oh, I wonder what my friend's doing, like, because her progress is great, like, I wonder what she's doing. So I actually asked her, I was like, oh, can I see your program? Yeah. So I was like, maybe it's better than my program. Because mind you, when I was actually getting coached by her, I was severely underweight. I was very tiny. I was actually struggling with binge eating quite badly at the time, and I would only eat at night time and like no one's looking. And I said to my coach, I want to lose weight, which is what my friend wanted to do. And so I said, I want to lose weight. I was severely underweight. You could see that in my progress photos when I first like onboarded. And the calories, I think I was on like 1,100 something. And I have IBS as well. IBS. And so like I couldn't have watermelon and like onion and garlic and all of that stuff. My literal nutrition plan was full of that. And that was what gave me the huge red flag, because I'm like, okay, so she clearly didn't read my onboarding or anything like that. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, people need to be cared for.
Yeah.
And I'm so like, energized to just help people, because I'm like, so many people experience that and like they're not educated, they don't know what to look for. And it's so scary, because one coach can alter the way that you see health and fitness for the rest of your life.
Oh god, yeah. It's like people think that it's just like this easy thing and you just give someone a plan and off they go. And fucking also, like, when did 1200 calories become like the new normal, like the standard for losing weight? Like, who decided that?
Yeah, it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but it's interesting, because the people who are on the 1200 calorie diets aren't actually getting any progress.
Yeah.
If anything, they're going backwards, and they're like, why isn't it working? Let's eat less. Let's try and hit that you know, target by eating less. Because it's like, no, we need education out there. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. And like, God, how can you eat less than 1200 calories? But I mean, the body is very good at adapting. Unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes. So when you were working with this coach, I mean, I guess I think that sometimes it can be really like a hard thing to like break up with your coach. It's almost like you're breaking up a relationship. Yeah. Like how, like if someone's listening now and they're like, whoa, like that's me. Like my plan is the same as my friend's. And like, I feel like she didn't respect me at all. Like how did you go about that? Like what was it that made you leave?
So the position that I was in, I actually had no relationship with my coach at all, because I didn't get responses.
That's insane.
It was through like email.
Yeah.
And there was never any responses. So for me, it was quite simple, because I was just like, I can't do this, like I'm leaving. At the time, like I'm very much a people pleaser, so I did make an excuse being like, oh, I'm doing this now, like I'm playing basketball, like I can't keep coaching, which I feel like everyone kind of puts an excuse out there just to save themselves a little
bit.
But I guess from other experiences with other coaches, it's just about being honest. Because if you tell the coach who maybe you're not having a good relationship with, or you're not experiencing a good, I guess, coaching experience, it's just saying that to your coach, because maybe they're unaware of it, right? Like maybe their coaching style they've done for other people and it's worked really well, but for you it just doesn't. And if there's anything that I've learned, not every person is going to be good for each other. Like everyone's got different coaching styles, and I think it's okay, and I think if the coach is genuinely a good coach, they will understand that and respect you wanting to leave or wanting a different type of, I guess, coaching.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not going to be liked by everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's so many of us are people pleasers. You know, we've kind of grown up being, like, these good girls. And we're always just, like, happy, smiley, friends with everyone, not causing any drama. And it's so common, like, such a common thing, especially among females. But, oh, God, I completely lost my train of thought here.
We all do when there's a camera in front. Yeah.
No, what I was going to say was, I think it's really important that you do have, like, you do speak up, because otherwise, like, you're not going to be liked by everyone. That's what I was getting to get to. You're not going to be liked by everyone. And if you are liked by everyone, you're not being your true self. Then you're just being a chameleon, trying to fit in everywhere and trying to, you know, please
everyone.
And it's
really
so hard to put on an act for every different person.
Yeah.
It's like holding up a lie. It's like you can't always keep that lie, because it's like you're going to tell someone else something different, and then it's always just going to come back to the truth anyways.
Yeah, exactly. And especially for like new coaches or any coach really listening, like having a client want to go. Like, that's not a bad, like, yeah, of course it's a bad thing if you've done something like that's not really the right, like if you put someone on 1,000 calories and stuff like that, yeah, they'd probably like, you should probably look at your coaching.
Yeah.
But not everyone's going to want to work with you, and that's perfect. That's how it should be.
100%. And I guess it comes back down to being who you are, especially like authentic online.
Mm.
Because if you go from like swearing and everything online, right? Oh no, I guess the other way around. If you go from like not swearing online, and then you get a client and then you're just like swearing at them, like you're like inclusive to that swearing, the client's gonna be like, what? Like, who did I sign up to? the nice, like, you know, non-swearing person online, or this like aggressive, like swearing person. It's like, you have to be so authentic everywhere and just all the time, because if you do have a client sign up to you and there's a contract, it's like, you know, you have to give them what they're thinking they're getting, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that there's a lot of people who kind of, well, I see it all the time. I see people that put on a persona online, and then when you meet them in real life, they're like completely different. Like, I really want people to meet me to be like, yeah, you're exactly like
you. Don't worry. You definitely are. You're a bit shorter than I thought you were.
You know, everyone says that. I don't know why. People think that I'm so tall. Like, even when I go on dates, guys are like, whoa, I thought you were like taller. Like, you look, or they will like ask me beforehand, like, I don't like asking this, but I just want to make sure, like, if you look really tall, I want to make sure that I'm taller than you. And I'm like, I'm only 5'4". Like, I'm actually much taller.
Personality-wise, though, you're on par.
Yeah. 6'4" personality.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, definitely. That kind of brings me into another thing that I want to talk to you about, because your Instagram has kind of exploded. Like, you haven't had your business that long, have you?
No. So online I've been about 2 years now.
Oh, it's been that long? I thought it was newer than that.
2 years, and then I was face to face for about a year and a half.
Okay.
But in saying that, I did lose my Instagram. So
Wait.
At one point, I lost it 2022. So I lost it about 2 years ago.
Shit.
Or a year and a half. Yeah.
Why?
It's actually happening to a lot of people now.
Yes, I've seen. That's the only reason I got the freaking blue tick.
Yeah, no, but I had a blue tick. Like, this was when recently I lost my Instagram. When I say lost, so I started. Oh my goodness, this. How long have we got?
Sorry, we got time. We got time. Don't worry.
So someone posted on the Instagram being like, "Oh, I lost my Instagram. Follow this person. Like, for if you ever lose your Instagram."
Okay.
I started following them on Instagram. So this Instagram saver person.
Uh-huh.
I started following them. I kid you not. Literally 2 hours later, my Instagram got completely deleted and it was suspended. You can't log in. So if you're watching this or listening to this, do not follow those Instagram saving people. Maybe take a screenshot of their account if worse comes to worse, but they will literally attack you because they're like, oh, she's interested. She's going to pay money. I had to pay like $3,500 Australian to get my Instagram.
No.
Yep.
Oh my God. I think I just did that with someone. Oh my God, I need to go and follow that person straight away.
But yeah, literally. But anyways, that's happened a few times. So I had to get a whole new Instagram because I actually couldn't get the other one back.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's like my nightmare. That's crazy. That's weird that it can happen with the blue tick, dog. That's literally the only reason I got it.
Yeah.
It's because of that.
No, literally, like, pay like the $23
So stupid,
But no, I still got mine hacked.
Oh my God, insane. Well, I'm glad you got it back at least. that you created. So this one's a new one then.
No, yeah, so I've lost it twice, but the one I've got now, that's the one that I paid the $3,500.
Oh, right, okay.
But my other one, I completely lost.
You couldn't get that back?
No. But the one thing I've noticed in order, like, to build my new Instagram is actually authenticity.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I know it sounds so simple, but it's so true.
Yeah.
Like, but I guess it comes down to as well, the people who you follow, you want to be, I guess, your ideal clientele. Like, you don't want, like, heaps of, you know, men following you, because it's like, they're not going to take your lessons and be educated by your content. So I used to be really into the followers and be like, oh, like, I've got to do this because of this.
Yeah, oh my God,
but
same.
Now it's like, ever since I've stopped worrying about that, I'm like, it's actually organically growing, like, with the right kind of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God, I had like a flashback the other day because I was exactly the same. I was like, I just want to get followers, like I just want to get more people like liking my photos and more views on my reels and blah, blah, blah. And I literally said to one of my friends, like, because he was like, why do you always like post, like or he's made fun of me for something. Like, it was like a photo of my ass, and it was like an inspirational quote or something. Yeah. And he's like, what does this inspirational quote have to do with you in a bikini?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, but I need it for like engagement. Like, it's good for engagement. And now I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, why did I feel like I needed to put my body out there just to get, like, the clients weren't gonna fucking like that photo. It was just the sleazy guys, like, fucking flooding up my DMs. Yeah. Like, I don't want that. They're not gonna buy from me anyway.
Literally. And it's actually quite scary because, like, when I was, I guess, looking at the followers side of it, I was actually in my bodybuilding competition. Mm. And obviously, I was a lot tinier. I was 15 kilos lighter than I am now. And I actually was getting a lot of clients. That was actually when my business started, like, booming the most.
Mm.
And I started, like, reading back on my interest forms. Like, what do people, like, want from me? Like, what do they need help with? And it was like, I want to look like you. I want to lose weight. I, like, you know, I want to look like you, basically. And I'm like, no, but then, like, that's the wrong thing. I don't want to be selling my body to get clients, kind of thing. And it comes down to, I guess, just, like, what's your purpose?
Yeah, I always think that, like, you know, all those like fitness influencers and stuff, and I'm like, what's gonna happen when you're like 60 years old and you're like super wrinkly and you can't do all this work and you don't have a six pack? Like, are you still gonna sell these programs? Like, no judgment. Like, I'm just curious. Like, genuinely curious. Like, what is going to happen when you don't? Like, when people can't look at you anymore and be like, I'm gonna look like you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just it's a very very interesting.
Yeah, and it's one of those things as well, which once again, I wish that coach that I signed up with when I was first starting. So I signed up with her because my friend was with her, but also because she had 10K followers, she had abs, she had a huge butt, and I was like, I want that exactly. And obviously, like, it didn't reflect her coaching at all. And a lot of the time, these people actually have coaches themselves, which have obviously helped with the way that they look. So it's just one of those things where it's like, you really have to know your coach before you sign up with them. And onboarding calls, oh my goodness, game changer.
Yeah, for sure. And most of those people also have had like a little BBL or something like that. It's what, oh God, do whatever you want with your body. But that's like me saying, I'm going to sell this like chest program. You're going to look like this. Like,
I mean, I would buy it.
I can send you my surgeon's number, but that's, I'm not going to charge you $10,000 for that. Well, however much they charge for those programs. So you mentioned as well that you struggled a bit with like binge eating and, I can imagine body dysmorphia if you signed up with that coach and you were tiny and you still want to lose weight. What did you do? Like, did you go through a process of recovering from that? Like, how did you hire someone to help you out? What did you do?
It's kind of like a really interesting, once again, like, how long do we have for the story?
We will sit here until they come and knock on the door.
So it's really interesting because I was struggling with what I was told was IBS at the time. So my, I guess, concept of it was, if I don't eat, I'm not going to bloat. But if I eat at nighttime, then no one's going to see me bloated, right? And then I would look at myself during the day and be like, well, I'm already bloated. Let's just eat everything in the pantry because I'm already at that sickness stage anyway. So let's just binge on everything that I've got inside. And I hope my mom doesn't watch this, but a lot of like my binge eating, I believe, stemmed from watching her when I was younger. Because a lot of the time we would have like a cabinet in our lounge room and it would be like in front of the TV and she would hide her snacks in there and she'd be like, don't tell dad I'm eating this, or you know, little things like that. Or she would have like, she still got them like hidden pantries in the house, which I would, the amount of steps I would have gotten from walking around the house to try and find all of those different like hiding spots of food.
Oh my God.
Crazy. And it was just one of those things where I just didn't understand what I was going through until I started obviously getting into coaching myself and researching things, being like, okay, this is what I was actually struggling with. Once again, that was why another reason I got a coach, because I was like, I'm fat, I need to lose weight. When realistically, I probably wasn't eating enough food, but I was also eating a lot of food at nighttime, kind of thing. I wish I did, I guess, go to a coach when I first started experiencing it, rather than holding off thinking I could heal myself, or no one knows.
Yes, girls, I tell people this all the time. Like, you're not going to do it yourself.
And
just
honestly,
wasting your time.
I struggled with that probably for about 5 years. Mm. Literally until I moved to Sydney and lived with my boyfriend, because I was living with my family, obviously since I was a baby. And I kind of just had those habits since I was quite young. And it just progressively got worse and worse and worse. And as soon as I started studying, researching, it kind of raised alarms in my head. I'm like, this is not normal.
Mm.
This is not okay. I can't always do this my whole life. And then the anxiety and the guilt and all of those emotions that follow through with it just make it 10 times worse. And I would sleep hours and hours and hours during the day to avoid wanting the urge to just eat everything in sight. Literally.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy, but also so common.
Yeah.
Like so many of the girls that I work with now, they're like, oh, I was craving something, so I just went to bed. And like, yeah, sure, that can work like sometimes, but are you always going to use that as a coping mechanism? Like, what if you're at a wedding or something and you start getting an urge? Are you just going to go sleep?
Yeah. You guys going to the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, where's Jar? Oh, yeah. She's sleeping in the bathroom.
Oh, I can actually picture that happening, like, if I was younger. That was the reason why I started following you. Because your content I resonated with so much. Like, obviously, I'm not experiencing that binge eating anymore, but it's always just a nice reminder to know that A, I'm not alone, B, someone understands me, and just kind of reminders that like there is nothing wrong with me. I just got to heal something inside me, and that's why I like following you, because you show that it's like the real side of it that a lot of people are scared of expressing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yes, I definitely put myself out there a lot.
Yeah, as you should, though. Like, honestly, like, sometimes I wish that we could have a microphone like this and just say it to the whole world and just teach every single person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, it is crazy, and it's very, like, a taboo subject. Like, I was talking to someone about a friend of mine here has herpes,
yeah.
And that's another subject that people do not talk about. And it's, like, something that so many people have, and same with binge eating. So many people struggle with it, but there's this voice in your head telling you that there's something wrong with you, like, don't tell anyone, and you should be embarrassed, like, hide this part of yourself, like, if anyone finds out, they're gonna, like, think you're weird, and, like, there's something wrong with you, and they're gonna leave you. Like, I remember when I was binging, like, I had a partner at the time, and I used to go to, like, McDonald's in one side of town, get a meal, get to the other side of town, get another meal, drive to some random street in the middle of nowhere, eat it all, throw it in some random person's bin, and then go home and be like, oh, everything is fine, nothing has happened, and he was like, why are you not losing weight? Like, why do you gain weight? You're not eating anything. You're going to gym all the time. No one knew that I was binging.
And that's the other thing. That's why even with clients, it's so important to communicate. Because sometimes a client could be like, oh, I haven't had any progress this week. But it's like, okay, have you gone and binged? Or have you had like an emotional eating? And it's, you know, it's something that so many people are afraid of talking about, but it's like, you're human.
Yes, exactly. We're all human, we all make mistakes.
And it's like, it's okay to ask for help, but
yeah.
I also think that sometimes, I know with me, if I ever expressed maybe like my anxiety to someone, or I ever expressed like binge eating or IBS, it was always pushed to the side and like not really heard. Yeah. And I think that people who maybe are afraid to talk up and actually speak to people about it might have felt that somewhere in their life when they've tried to ask for help, they've kind of been pushed to the side and it hasn't been made a priority. So it's like there's so much emotion to it, and
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it does all stem from our childhood. And unfortunately, most of us have grown up when we're sad or angry or stressed or something, parents are just like, oh, like, go to your room or stop crying or don't be a baby. So, of course, if we're not taught how to regulate ourselves and our emotional needs, well, what's going to happen in adulthood? Like, of course, we're going to go to like binge eating, or we're not going to ask for help, or we're going to drink, or I don't know, sleep around, like use anything to just try and cope with those difficult emotions.
Yeah.
Like, no one likes feeling bad. No. So we're always going to try and find a way to cheer ourselves up.
Yeah. And that was another thing. Like, when I was binging, I always found myself not ever being able to spend time with myself because I was either criticizing myself in the way that I looked, binging, or overthinking things. And another thing that, like, in my journey, the number one thing that I have learned, and if I could tell my younger self this, is check in with yourself. Like, just ask yourself how you're actually feeling and allow yourself to think. and feel things. Because I always just put it, I know it's so cliche, like everyone says it and stuff, but I always just put all my feelings in a bottle and, you know, threw it in the bin and just didn't actually process anything. And I never actually knew how I felt or why I was doing what I was doing.
Yeah, or what you said is so powerful. And it's actually insane that not many people know other feelings than happy, angry, or sad.
Yeah.
That's it. Or maybe stress. That's it. They don't have any, can't tap into any other feelings. They don't even know the names of any other feelings.
Yeah.
So one of the big things I get my clients to do is use the feeling wheel. It's like, okay, well, what are you feeling? There's so many different feelings, like so many different sensations. Yeah, but it's so powerful because if you can't name it, how are you ever going to be able to change it? Like that awareness is such a huge piece.
Use that quote.
Yeah.
You can't name it, you can't change it.
Name of the podcast. No, but you need to bring awareness to the problem. So you said that you moved in with your partner to Sydney. So a lot of times, making a big change like that actually can change a behavior like binging. It can actually break it because you're literally taking the habit loop and you're kind of cutting it in half. So is that what happened, or did you get like some actual like counseling or something like that?
So I had gone to a counselor once or twice, but when I moved in with my partner, I think it was just the environment change.
Mm.
I think I was around someone who was really, really supportive, and himself, he also is like very much into the health and fitness space, and he is working on himself, and I actually felt really safe and comfortable to talk to him about these things. And we were doing long distance at the time, so he didn't really know about my binge eating.
Yeah.
And so when I moved in with him, I actually spoke up and like told him what I was experiencing, why I did it, my IBS and how I cope with that. And he was really supportive, and I just asked him to just check in on me and just ask me how I was going, just like a coach would.
Yeah.
And I think just being around someone who was really supportive rather than judgmental, or I guess didn't understand, was really, really refreshing. And I also think that when I go to Melbourne, it kind of gives me flashbacks, and I'm like, I feel like that environment just makes me stressed and really overwhelmed, and that's when I kind of go to food, where I'm like, oh, I'm stressed, I don't know what to do, let's avoid what I'm feeling and let's just eat.
Yeah, for sure, changing that environment is a huge part of it. And even I noticed, like, when I went home, that I went a little bit back into my restrictive patterns, because that's when my anorexia was at its peak. And like, just like things of like just different foods that I had always said, this is a bad food and this is a good food, or this, you can't have this, or like tracks where I used to like do all my crazy runs and stuff like that. So like changing your environment, that is such a huge factor. And being around people as well who have like a healthy mindset, especially when you come from like a big, you know, long history of dieting, being around people who are always dieting or have a very unhealthy mindset, like you don't really know like what healthy eating looks like.
No, 100%. And that's why I love another thing with coaching. Like coaches have like a community, having that support, because if you're feeling something, more often than not, there is another person in the same room
Absolutely.
Who's feeling the exact same thing. And if you feel comfortable enough to speak up about it, you realize that other people feel the same. And it's great to just have a supportive environment around you. And I felt like when I was in Melbourne, like when I used to live there, it was always just the drinking, it was always like up late, you know, whatever the thing was. And when I moved to Sydney, obviously I was starting fresh, just knowing my partner, but it was like, it was really nice to be around people who generally did support me and understood me as well. But it was also moving to Sydney, not knowing anyone, allowed me to be myself, because I didn't need to hide, or I didn't need to, you know, change myself to be around different people, because I didn't know anyone, right? So I actually learned to be myself and find the things that I love doing and doing it for me. Like, I'm not against anyone who drinks, but I really dislike drinking. It makes me really anxious and like overwhelmed. But moving to Sydney, it's like I didn't have to fake being a person anymore to fit in with the crowd, because I didn't have a crowd when I first moved. So everyone who I've met, and made friends with, know me for who I am, rather than the person who I was trying to be to fit in with other people.
Wow. Oh, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
I feel like so many people can relate to that, especially if you've grown up in like, I mean, Melbourne's not a small town, but if you've grown up in a small town, people kind of just put you in a box, and it's like, that's who you are. You can't change. That's who you're always going to be.
Yeah.
And if you try and break out of that, it's like,
you're
yeah, it's like, what's wrong with you? Like, yeah, why are you changed? Yeah. Like, why don't you want to go out drinking with us?
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it, unfortunately, it's a very common, unfortunately. But it is definitely, like, don't allow stuff like that to hold you back. Like, if you're listening, you're like, yes, my friends say that to me all the time. Like, let them go then. Like, yeah. They like, everyone is in your life for, like, what's the quote? Like, a season or a reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, some people you're going to be friends with for life, but other people, they might just be there to support you through whatever you're going through, and then they're off doing their own thing,
like,
and you're off
okay
doing your thing.
Yeah. Not, like, it shouldn't be seen as, like, a negative thing. But
no.
I think allowing yourself to change, like, growing up, we all change, like, hormones and all the things that go with that. And it's, like, it's okay to outgrow something.
Exactly. Like, you're always going to be on different paths. And some people will grow with you on that same path and kind of take a little bit of detours every now and then. But, like, certain people just grow completely different.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, it's worse to just be stuck in the same. Like, imagine, like, oh my God, if I was exactly the same as when I was 20, I'd be like, what is going on with my life? Yeah. All I want to do is just drink and, like, go out, party.
Yeah.
Like, I literally lived off, like, tuna and, like, 2 minute noodles all week so I could save all my money to go out on the weekend.
Yeah, and I feel like that is very common. I'm with you there.
Yes, well, we learn from our mistakes now.
100%. And that's another thing. Like, I guess another thing I would tell anyone who's listening is it's okay to, quote unquote, fail, right? Because how else are you meant to learn? And sometimes, like, taking two steps back allows you to go forward because you realize, you know, like, for me, for example, I, you know, was into health and fitness, and then I took two steps back with, like, binge eating, and I was struggling with mental health and my environment, and then that made me realize that I actually needed to change something completely different, and then I continued to progress forward. And it's like, sometimes you need to take a step back to realize what you actually need to do.
Yeah, I love that so much. And yeah, not being afraid to fail, and like, don't even look at it as a failure. Like,
a lesson.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's a lesson. And if it's like, okay, that didn't work out, all right, cool, we'll try something different then.
Yeah.
Like, don't attach your whole identity to that time in your life when something didn't go your way.
Yeah, and I guess, like, you can connect that to the gym as well. Like, trying a new exercise in the gym, you do it incorrectly. You take a video of yourself, you watch it, realize maybe you're doing it wrong. It's like, okay, I'll fix that and that my next session.
Yeah.
And that's like, voila, it's fixed. And it's like, it's not a fail doing an exercise wrong. It's a lesson.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, the first time you do something, you're probably not going to be an expert at it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, learn to be a beginner. Like, one thing I always say to my clients, if they send me someone who runs mega marathons or something, it's like, those people that you look up to started off as a beginner as well.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit of a reminder that it's like, everyone starts off in the same position.
Mm.
Like, yes, genetics obviously play a huge role in that, but mentally and physically, it's like, everyone does start in the same position as a beginner, and you have to be okay with that if you want to get better at something consistent and frequency and all of the things.
Yeah. God, I think that everyone needs to hear that. And I think especially, like, most people have grown up with that mindset of, like, I'm not good enough, I need to be the best one. And sometimes, like, I still struggle with this, and it's something that I need to be aware of all the time. Like, I went to this, like, Kundalini, like, breathwork session the other day, and I was like, I need to be the best one at Kundalini. Like, you just lay there, you're not doing anything. Yes, like, you're not doing anything, just laying on the floor.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, having these thoughts isn't a bad thing. It's just, like, you need to be aware of them so that you're not allowing them to dictate your whole life, right? And, you know, seeing things as, okay, well, I wasn't the best one there, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that I can never go to CrossFit
or
football or basketball or whatever again. You just come again and you try, and then you get a little bit better, and that's great. Like, that's perfect for you.
100%. And I guess, yeah, another little thing that I'll just throw in as well, because I was thinking about this on the bike here.
Yeah.
What's something I should mention?
How do I sound smart?
No,
just... Okay.
Oh, sorry! No, you're fine. You're fine. My brain's like, it's been holding like a spot in my brain. Like,
okay, go for it.
Everyone's version of 100% is different every single day. And if you're not the best at something one day, it's like, that doesn't mean that tomorrow can't be the best day ever. But it's like, coming back to, like, checking in with yourself in the morning, it's like, okay, what's my version of 100% today? Is it just getting out of bed and drinking my water? Or is it pushing really hard in the gym to be the best? Like, what is your version of 100%?
Preach. Mic drop. That's going to be the reel on Instagram.
Yeah. You'll have to tag
Definitely. Well, before we do run out of time, let me just check my watch. Yep, we have about 4 minutes. What is a goal for you this year? Like, is there anything that in particular that you're working towards, like business or personal wise? Like, share us your secrets.
I think it is being more present and actually allowing myself to let me think about this. I feel like I've got so many things.
Yeah. Give us all of them.
You know what? It's actually going to be just embracing who I am.
Yeah.
Because,
I love
like
that.
You can see, I am a snowman. Like, I am so.
Well, you're sitting next to me. Like, people think that I'm Balinese because I'm so black.
I have fake tanned every single week for the last, like, since I was probably like 14. And I'm 22 now, and that's, I don't do maths, but however many years that is, I have fake tan, and I have never felt okay or confident leaving the house without fake tan on. But when I arrived in Bali 2 days ago, when I was packing, I was like, I am not bringing my bottle of fake tan because then I cannot fake tan, right? Yeah. And I always kind of hide behind it because I'm like, oh, people are looking at me, and, you know, whatever. But I'm like, you know what? This is who I am. Like, I've dyed my hair back my natural color.
I know, when you did that, I was like, yes! Go for it, girl!
I actually never had to go blonde again, though, but the hair just told me if I
Yeah, God, your hair, like, yeah, 100%, 100%.
But it's just, like, embracing who I am and allowing myself to, like, be a beginner at something and trying new things and not being embarrassed for who I am. Like, just express myself, you know? Be the main character.
I love that so much. Can she get a round of applause?
I think that, like, whenever I see someone without fake tan, in my head I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that. Like, they look gorgeous. I wish I could do that. But it's like, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally what I used to have. You used to have extensions as well.
Yeah.
And I had mine, and I remember specifically sitting and I was like, I'm never going to be able to take this out. Like, this is me now. Who would I be if I didn't have these extensions? And then my hair literally was falling out by the roots. I was like, okay, time for them to go. But then, like, I had to start. It kind of felt like I had to start over again with my confidence because my whole confidence was in my hair.
Yeah. It's like, for as long as you have the fake hair, you can't grow your own.
Exactly.
So do you want to no, that was the exact same story that I have with my hair. I'm like, I can't keep hiding behind these.
No, exactly. And then it kind of becomes like an addiction of, okay, what else can I, like, strip back? Like, then it's like the lashes goes, and then, like, I stopped, like, I used to do, like, highlights all the time. Now I'm trying to be a bit more natural with my hair. And then, like, I was talking to someone about the other day. I was like, if I could, I wouldn't do my boobs. Like, I would just want to embrace my natural.
I saw that on your story. I think you posted about it.
Yeah, I posted about it because someone commented, like, how can you, like, preach body positivity or whatever and you have fake boobs? I'm like, well, at the time, I was so insecure. But now, I'm also not going to go and freaking pay however much and put my body under that stress to have them taken out just because I want to be all natural.
Yeah,
like, isn't it better to just embrace yourself as you are?
Yeah.
So that was my reply to that person. But I love that. And I think it's such a good lesson, especially for young females who are looking up to people like all these big influencers. And, like, fuck, I don't barely know any big influencers who doesn't have extensions, fake tan, lashes, fillers, Botox everywhere, fake boobs, some of them fake ass as well, liposuction in their arms and stuff to be more toned and, like, you know, everything that you can do pretty much.
And that is, I think, another reason why I fake tan all the time, and it's because everyone, like, why does fake tan exist? Why did we feel the need to have to change our skin color in the first place? But every single influencer that I follow anyway, like, they're either beautifully naturally tan or, like, they wear fake tan. I'm like, okay, well, if I want to be that, then I have to do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I'm going to write my own story.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to be the difference. I'm going to be the person for people who do have the pale skin.
Yeah.
To be like, preach, I love it. Like, she's embracing her natural skin. That means I can.
Obsessed.
And that isn't to say that I'm never going to fake tan again, because I definitely will. I'm just being okay with not fake tanning.
Yeah, exactly. And making it more of, like, an occasion to, like, making yourself even more beautiful. for example, when you wear makeup, like, yeah, you don't have to wear makeup every day, but you can still leave your house and like feel comfortable, yeah, without it. But then when you, yeah, when you do it, it's like, yeah, oh look, I'm enhancing all the, yeah, like, yeah, stuff that I love about, yeah, myself. 100%, 100%. So I don't, yeah, I love that so much. And oh, this has been such a good chat. I love it.
You. What's one goal that you've got?
One goal that I've got.
Vision you've got for the year.
Well, my goal this year of, everyone who listens to the podcast will know this already. My goal this year is to get more into doing workshops. So I'm already doing, I did a workshop for you, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah. So I want to do more.
I'm actually going to do another one because I loved it.
Yes. Yes. Book me in. No, I want to do more workshops. I want to do more podcasting. I really want to grow the speaking side of my business because I love, like, I'm so passionate about talking. Love coaching as well. But I feel like I want to bring that side up more, and then travel more and live. Last year I felt very, very stuck in a scarcity mindset where I felt very like, oh, I need to save, or no, I can't do that, or like, I need to think of this, or I need to, like, just like overthinking everything, very in my like masculine energy. This year I really want to just embrace the feminine side of me and just like surrender and attract abundance and just, yeah, just like say yes. Like, I'm in my yes girl era.
Yeah, love it. Because I'm really hitting my quotes tonight.
Yes, love that. Go for it.
People are more afraid to die than they are to live.
Oh my God.
And I feel like I'm going to throw that over to you because that's like, I feel like that's the vibe. It's
thank
like,
you.
I need to not be afraid to live and just spend and experience.
Yeah.
Do.
Exactly. That money or whatever you're saving, like, that can see it in the bank account. What if you die tomorrow and you have however much money that I spent?
Literally, like,
spend it on travel, yeah, experiences, doing things, yeah, eating yummy food. Like, don't let my fitness pal or money or whatever dictate how good your life is. Oh, yeah, yes, I love this so much. I wish we had like 3 more hours, but I'm sure we'll catch up before you go back to Australia.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm sure people are going to be like, where can I find this amazing girl? Like, we will obviously tag you. But are you taking on clients at the moment? Are you like having anything that you want to plug? Like, give yourself a plug.
Yes. So I am taking clients on at the moment. I'm actually in the works of creating something exciting. So you'll find that on my Instagram, hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
But no, I am taking on clients for all things, everything. That's basically it. The I don't throw myself out there too much.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. No, it's been so nice to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time, and also, like, you know, getting lost and still coming. Like, I really appreciate that. I was like, no, she better not cancel.
I probably don't have to burn on the bike.
Yeah, working on that. No, it's been so, so nice. And everyone who listened to this, please make sure you share it. We will always, like, if you tag us, we will reshare. We will say thank you. Like, it honestly means so much when you do that. And also helps the podcast reach more people. And obviously, this podcast had so many good quotes in it. Just for that, you should reshare it. The quote podcast. So please do that, tag us, make sure you also follow the podcast. You know, this really helps when people are, you know, searching for things like binge eating anxiety or nothing mindset, all the things that we talk about. It helps if you follow and give it the podcast a rating, because then it will show up further up in the list. So please, please, please do that. But yeah, thank you so, so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, you are one of my inspirations.
Stop it. Right, thanks guys. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.